This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على خير خلق الله نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه ومن اهتدى بهديه واستنى بسنته إلى يوم الدين. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته and welcome to Lessons in Fiqh. Hadith number 172 deals with the conditions of Salat as we're still studying this chapter. And it's narrated by Muawiyah ibn al-Hakam and I believe that Brother Mustafa will read it for us.
Narrated by Muawiyah ibn al-Hakam, may Allah be pleased with him, Allah's Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, talking is not benefiting during the prayer, for it consists only of glorifying Allah, declaring His greatness, and recitation of the Quran.
Now, this hadith definitely tells us one of the things that a person should preserve during his prayer, and that is, he should not talk throughout the prayer. And talking is not acceptable. We will learn later on, inshallah, that this was the case at the very beginning of Islam. That Muslims, while in prayer, they could talk together. So while they are in the congregation praying, he could look to his left and say, "Hey, Muhammad, what are you going to do this night?" And the guy says, "Well, I think I'm going to go, you know, do some bowling or whatever. You have anything in mind?" He said, "Well, let's finish praying and talk afterwards." This was acceptable at the beginning in Islam. They used to talk, and you know, but until Allah Azza wa Jal told them not to do this. And we will come to this, inshallah, later on. In this hadith, Muawiyah ibn al-Hakam spoke. He talked. And he didn't know that it was not permissible. The Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam told him that this is not benefiting. It's not good, it's not suitable for prayer, and the prayer should consist only of glorifying Allah, declaring His greatness, and the recitation of the Quran. This is the only thing that is acceptable in prayer. There is another hadith, and it might be related to this one, where, and Muawiyah ibn al-Hakam could be this one, where someone sneezed while in the congregation prayer. And of course, you know that when someone sneezes, he should say Alhamdulillah. And those who heard him should say Yarhamkumullah. So this man, whether it's Muawiyah or someone else, heard this companion sneeze. So he said Yarhamkumullah during the prayer. So the companions themselves, you know, started to move in their places, as if they've looked at him. And he noticed that they are looking at him. So he's talked again. "Why are you looking at me?" He shouted, "Why are you looking at me?" That was during the congregation prayer. So they started clapping their thighs, making a sound of, yani, asking him to shut up. So he did not talk. After the prayer, he was called by the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. And he did not, he says, the companion, he said that he did not shout at me, he did not reprimand me, he just said, O son of my brother, O nephew of mine, the salah is not acceptable for such things, it's only acceptable for this and this and this and this. So the Prophet ﷺ taught him what to do. And this is the way of the Prophet ﷺ in teaching others. No shouting, no slandering, no labeling, no accusations, He had all the love in him to teach people. We were told once that a Bedouin came from the desert, entered the mosque, and looked at the side, one side of the mosque, and started to urinate in the mosque, in the masjid. The companions all stood up to beat this man and stop him. The Prophet told them, alayhi salam, leave him. Leave him until he finishes. Because if you startle him, he's going to spread his urine all over the mosque, running away from you, and the danger and the filth would be spread. So leave him. It's contained in one area. And after he finished, the Prophet called him and told him, oh, nephew of mine, this is unacceptable in Islam. These mosques are made for the recitation of the Quran, for glorifying Allah, and so on. What did the man do? The man raised his hand and said, oh Allah, forgive Muhammad, the Prophet, sins, and me. Oh Allah, have mercy on Muhammad and me, and don't include anyone else with us. Because the companions shouted at him and wanted to, you know, beat him when he was urinating. And then when the Prophet ﷺ clarified things to him, he supplicated. He said, oh Allah, have mercy on Muhammad and myself, and don't join any of these guys with us. So the Prophet told him that this is Allah's mercy. Why limit it on only us? This is something that should be to all mankind. So it teaches us that the Prophet ﷺ had his way with those who were ignorant. And he was nice and kind to them. And this is the way we should treat ignorant people. There are so many times that people complain of good and committed Muslims calling for Allah or calling people to Allah in a wrong way. They go and accuse people of being not good Muslims. They shout at them. They talk to them as if they are teaching kids. And this, nobody accepts this way. You have to be modest. You have to be sincere. You have to show people that you want all the good possible to them. Only then they will accept your call. And this is the way the Prophet ﷺ used to call the Muslims and his followers. Again, this is the general trend, of course. For example, when a man came to the Prophet ﷺ complaining, he said, oh Prophet of Allah, I have committed intercourse. I had intercourse with my wife during the day of Ramadan and I was fasting. Now, the Prophet, if anyone came to us with such a complaint, we would immediately say, are you crazy? Are you insane? Aren't you a good Muslim? Don't you fear Allah? Don't you know it's a sin? You have sinned. You have did this. You have did that. And the guy would think that he's in hell. Did this? The Prophet did this, alayhi wasalam? It was very simple and easy. The Prophet told him, free a slave. The man said, I don't have any slaves. So the Prophet said, okay, then fast 2 months. Fast 2 consecutive months. So the man said, Prophet of Allah, I did this in one day. You want me to fast whole 60 days? I can't. I'm unable to do this. So the Prophet says, alayhi wasalam, then feed 60 poor people. As a punishment, you have to pay and feed 60 poor persons. So the man said, I don't have any money. So the Prophet told him to sit down. He sat down. After a while, some people came with their charity, their sadaqah, and gave it to the Prophet. So the Prophet said, where is this man asking a while ago? So he stood up and said, here I am. So the Prophet told him, take this and feed 60 persons, poor people. So the man said, Prophet, I'm the poorest person in Medina. I am the poorest person in Medina. So the Prophet laughed and said, take it and feed it to your family. So it tells us that how kind and merciful the Prophet ﷺ was with those who were ignorant and those who did not know. But with those who were arrogant, the Prophet ﷺ was very tough with them. With those who did know, yet chose to choose the other direction, the Prophet was tough with them. As in the example with Abu Dharr al-Ghafari, when he had this dispute with Bilal ibn Bilal al-Rabah, may Allah be pleased with them, and they had this argument that happens with among or between everyone. And Abu Dharr went out of his way. He crossed the red line. And he said to Bilal, shut up, you, the son of a black woman. And this is an insult, if it's intended to be an insult. But if it's not intended to be insult, a black person's mother is black. And a yellow person's mother, well, yellow meaning that a descendant of the of East Asia, not yellow meaning coward, but a person from Africa's mother is African, a person from Asia's, she's Asian, a person from Europe, his mother is Caucasian or whatever. So it depends if you're saying it with the intention of an insult or with a pure and clear conscience. Abu Dharr, when he said, Bilal, you are the mother, the son of a black woman, he meant it as an insult. So Bilal did not say anything. He went to the Prophet and told him that Abu Dharr said so and so. The Prophet was so angry with Abu Dharr, and he told him that you are a person that still have this jahiliyyah in you. Your Islam is not complete. You've behaved out of arrogance. So Abu Dharr went to Bilal and asked for his forgiveness. Some narrations say that he put his face on the ground and asked Bilal, saying, O son of a black woman, put your foot on my cheek, just to show you that I'm not arrogant anymore. And Bilal said, may Allah forgive you, brother, stand up. And they made up. Another example of the Prophet ﷺ being tough with those who were arrogant and knowledgeable, when he saw a person eating using his left hand. The Prophet ﷺ told him, eat with your right hand. And this is what we should do. Whenever you see someone eating or drinking with his left hand, you should tell him, brother, use your right hand, because it's forbidden to do it with the left hand. But the man that the Prophet was talking to, alayhi salam, was arrogant. So he said, I cannot. Though he can. But out of arrogance, he said, I cannot. So the Prophet said, alayhi salam, may you cannot. Well, this is not good English. This is awful English. The Prophet prayed and said, I pray to Allah that you may not be able to lift your right hand to your mouth. And his right hand was paralyzed instantly. And this was reported in Muslim. He could not lift it up to his mouth because he lied when saying, I cannot use my right hand. So the Prophet said, then it should be as you claimed it to be, and it was paralyzed. So this tells us that it depends on the situation, when to be lean and soft and good, when they are not knowledgeable or they need knowledge, and when they are arrogant with knowledge, but they would not comply to what you are saying. I believe that we should take a short break, so stay tuned.
Let's talk.
So this is something that you have to point out to them in the Bible.
Something which is, I think, very dearly needed by the youth, which is staying firm on the truth.
This is just one of the greatest examples for me of how to control your anger.
Within the framework of being the cleanest religion, the cleanest jurisprudence, and in the meantime, the kindest religion to animals.
Watch Let's Talk with Khalil Amanat as he interviews guests and discusses a variety of topics, everything from youth issues to religious issues. Join us here on Hoda TV.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah, and welcome back. The following hadith, hadith number 173, I think Abu Malik will read this hadith for us.
Narrated by Zayd ibn Arqam radiallahu anhu, we used to talk while engaged in salat, meaning prayer, during the lifetime of Allah's Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And one would talk with his companion regarding his needs in salat, meaning prayer, till this verse was revealed. Guard strictly the prayers, especially the middle prayer, and stand before Allah with obedience. Then we were commanded to observe silence, meaning in prayer, and were forbidden to talk.
Of course, this hadith falls in line in what we as Muslims all do. That is, no Muslims talk or speak during prayer. And this is common knowledge and common sense. Because you are praying, you should observe your prayer and safeguard it without talking, to guard it strictly and not to talk in it. Now, we mentioned this earlier that at the very beginning, companions used to talk during prayer. It was okay for them to do so until this verse was revealed, حَافِظُوا عَلَى الصَّلَاةِ وَالصَّلَاةِ الْوُسْطَى وَقُومُوا لِلَّهِ قَانِتِينَ. And what is the middle prayer? Salatu al-Asr. Then you have to guard strictly your prayers, especially Asr prayer. And why Asr prayer? Because lots of people sleep over Asr prayer after they come back from work or forget it. Mustafa.
So if now someone talks in prayer, then his prayer is not accepted.
If a person talks intentionally during prayer, yes, it's not accepted.
Okay, what about...
Unless the imam makes a mistake during the recitation of the Quran and he corrects it. Yes.
Okay, what about if sometimes children, when they come to pray in the masjid, they laugh? So, does this nullify their...
Okay, we will come to that, inshallah. Abu Malik.
Oh, if like somebody's praying and, you know, like they see there's the child going to play with electricity or with fire, if they like shout to them, stop or sit down or come back, will that break their prayer?
If they talk intentionally, this nullifies their prayer, they pray again. If they move from their position and climb the stairs and take the child before falling from the stairs, this nullifies the prayer, they pray again. But they have to do this. It is a must that they do this. The short movement or small amount that is not considered to be lots of movement, this does not nullify the prayer. Yes?
One of the Sahaba, I believe it was Abu Sayyid al-Khudri, and I recall that in, I don't remember the exact verse, but he met an enemy and he fought him while he was praying. Salat al-Khawf, you know,
yes.
Positioning by the head. And he fought him while he was in the prayer.
Salat al-Khawf, what does Salat al-Khawf translate to? The prayer that one performs while in the state of war. When you have a war, in the state of war, you're praying and your enemy is in front of you or behind you or around you, you are allowed to pray Salat al-Khawf. Salat al-Khawf is a different story altogether, because in Salat al-Khawf, you may face the direction other than the Qibla. You may pray the four rak'ah into one single rak'ah. It's shortened into one, as in some versions of the hadith. The way it's done, the movement, carrying the weaponry, observing your enemy, maybe not prostrating all the way just to keep eye contact and so on, it's completely different. So it does not apply here. We're talking about the normal, standard, obligatory prayer.
Okay, I'm sorry for interfering, but isn't there a hadith where it says that there's certain insects or animals we're supposed to kill while praying? Isn't that considered movement?
Yes, it's as I mentioned earlier, you're allowed to move, but within, you know, an acceptable boundaries. Now, if I see a scorpion in front of me, I'd kill it. But if the scorpion moves from my room to the other living room, and I run after it, you know, holding my slippers and trying to catch it, and here and there it goes up the stairs and I follow it, this is not prayer. This is too much. This is taking, the movement is a lot. So you're allowed to kill certain types of insects or things that harm you, providing that it is not a lot of movement. In Islam, it's okay, for example, if I'm praying and I'm carrying my child. Whenever I bow or prostrate, I put it aside. Whenever I stand up, I pick it up and put it again. This is movement, but it's acceptable. If there's an opening in the row in front of me, it's okay if I walk 2, 3, 4 steps until I fill this gap in the row in front of me. This is acceptable. But lots of movement makes the prayer invalid, such as you're in prayer, your mobile rings, you pick it up, you look at the name, it's a missed call, you try to see who was calling, and then, it's my grandma, you send her a text message saying that, okay, I'll be home for dinner at 9 o'clock, and then you put it back again in your pocket. This invalidates your prayer. So the movement has to be, you know, measured in the sense that would this be regarded as a lot, or would this be regarded as permissible and okay? What brought us this subject? I forgot. It
says about silence in the prayer.
About?
Silence in the prayer.
Silence in the prayer. So one should observe the silence in his prayer and not talk in his prayer. Mustafa, I think the question was about laughing, children laughing. Now, scholars classified the sounds that come out of a person. So some of them say if a person says 2 letters or more, then this is considered to be talking, and this nullifies your prayer. And there is nothing. So if I say, this is a sequence of like what, five letters, they say, well, this is talking. Your prayer is invalid. And there's no evidence on this. I didn't talk. I coughed and sneezed and did, God knows, cleared my throat. This is not talking. So this is not authentic. You have to have an authentic thing. As far as laughing is even worse than talking, because the essence of prayer is submissiveness, khushur, contemplation. And if you laugh in prayer, then this contradicts with the essence of prayer, then your prayer is invalid. Or what about a smile? If a person just smiles, this is not recommended, but it doesn't nullify your prayer. A smile does not nullify your prayer. We come to the... before we come, Fadi has a question.
What about if someone is really submissive during Tarawih and he says as a replication to a supplication, Oh God?
Say it in Arabic.
Like, Ya Rab, for instance.
No, this is not recommended. See, what's recommended during Salat is what the Prophet ﷺ used to do. The Prophet ﷺ used to, whenever he read or recited a verse that had the mentioning of Jannah or reward, he would say, Oh Allah, grant me. He would ask Allah from his fadl and generosity. And whenever he recited a surah or a verse that had punishment and hell and torture, he would say, Oh Allah, I seek refuge in you. So this is acceptable. But to talk during the prayer by saying, Ya Allah, Ya Rabb, and raising your voice, as a lot of people say this is not acceptable, unless it's done without your intention. And so many times, people talk and do something without intending it. So I've seen this in front of me. My wife was once praying, and while she was praying, one of the kids was on a chair and almost fell. And she noticed that, and she said, Ya Allah, Ya Allah, the kid, while she was praying. And I jumped in and saved the kid from falling down. And she continued praying. And afterwards she said, what do you think, should I pray again? The answer would be no, because this was done unintentionally. If you do it intentionally, it's forbidden. And just to recap, I think Mustafa has a question, but before we go to Mustafa's question, in Taraweeh, night prayer in Ramadan, you see a lot of weird things. You see a lot of weird things. people talk during the dua, especially in the dua of Qunut, the last rak'ah where the imam makes the dua. You hear people saying things, Ya Rabbi, don't do this, don't do that, Ya Allah, Ya Allah. And maybe sometimes this is funny, but it's actual. You hear people crying, you hear ladies, men saying, Oh Sudais, the imam of the haram, may Allah preserve your mouth, Yuslim bu'ak, Sudais, in the salah. What are you doing? And they, when you ask them, they don't remember. Okay, this happened unintentionally. This took place because they did not intend to. Does this nullify their salah? لا تؤاخذنا إن نسينا وخطأنا. Do not punish us if we forget or we make a mistake. And this is not within their hands. But if it were to be within their hands, if they did that intentionally, their prayer would be nullified. Mustafa.
If you're praying and someone tells you Assalamu alaikum, should you answer back?
Or? No, you should not answer back. But there are hadiths that you may answer by waving, raising your hand. So if you are in prayer and somebody says Assalamu alaikum, you may raise your hand. This is okay. It was reported by the Prophet ﷺ that he did this. So I believe this is okay. And of course, this is depending that you are praying on your own, because if you're in a congregation, it wouldn't be acceptable that someone comes into the mosque and says, and this happens. A lot of people are entering the mosque. The people are praying. It says, Assalamu alaikum. Who are you doing this for? So this is not recommended. Yes, Mustafa.
So I have a question about laughing. Assuming that you're in a mosque, for example, and there's a small child, and then he does something funny, that's so funny that you just can't control yourself and you laugh. You don't just smile, you actually laugh. Does this nullify your prayer?
Yes.
But you did it unintentionally.
But this took you off the prayer. See, if you do something unintentionally because, for example, you had to, you're afraid of something. But when you are in the case of laughing, this conflicts completely with the submissiveness. It's different when someone is about to fall and you say, watch out. And you did not intend that. It's different than when you laugh. Because when you laugh, this means that you have no fear of Allah. It's funny. Yeah, it's funny. But if you try to recollect and think of Allah Azza wa Jal greatness, you cannot even smile. Because you are standing before the creator of the earths and heavens, the creator of hell and paradise. So no matter what happens in front of you, you have a serious face with that reflects a serious heart. But if you laugh, and I've seen people laughing from the recitation of the Quran. You know, people go and laugh, and they laugh because of this. I'm afraid that this is all the time we have for today's program. So inshallah, until we meet next time, fi amanillah. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.